It's not a cartoon. It's anime. Yes. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back. Three quarters of the squad.
Yes, sir.
Myself,
Animation gang.
Ice, Brennan. I mean, no, Ice, what? Rob, myself. No bitch ass Brennan.
We no Brennan to be
punk
seen.
Ass
no
ass Brennan. I had a
the Cam
mini.
Cam over there, y'all.
Cam, yep. Cam.
What did you do? Cam, have you ever done the power up?
Yeah. When we did the remote episodes, like when the X-Men episode I did.
Oh, yeah. When he's an official guest on the show.
When I am not here. Because, I mean, okay. I got to, like, to switch all these things during it. I'm not
going to
be like,
ah. It's just in and out.
switch. Multitask, man. Multitask, bro. Wow. You know we're doing it. We do our one-off. We talk our shit. We do debates.
So Brennan's in the chat.
And Brennan, is he in the chat?
He's in the chat.
I can hear y'all.
I can hear y'all.
You a ho.
Am I a bitch? Am I?
This might even be funnier, the fact that he's in the chat, but he's not actually here to just start dogging him out, just do a whole episode dogging his ass out. This would be absolutely funny.
I wonder if he can hear this. You are now listening to and watching, if you're on our Patreon, the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
He's glad you said that loud enough, because he said he's right next door.
He's on the other side of the wall.
He's like, fuck. He went like this. He went, Well, yes, like he said, and join our Patreon, patreon.com/animation, S-H-U-N. Come in, I guess. Who's this? Come in. Who knocked?
I think Brennan, probably.
We right, Brennan being an asshole.
Being a hoe. The greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
So yeah, join that Patreon, patreon.com/animation. You know what we do on there. Do we want to go into the...
I say we go into it. We have our results.
We have our results from the poll. So the poll we did, if you didn't want... No, we last episode, we did pretty much a side character pitch TV show type thing where we pick side characters and we're pitching them their own TV show. And you on the Patreon got the vote to see who would get the show made by nobody, because we don't have a budget for this shit. But
make them in our dreams.
It's all definitely fun. We had a good time doing that podcast. So make sure you go back and actually watch that episode. It was a great episode, in my personal opinion. But yeah, let's go through.
Do we go from the bottom to the top?
Go that.
Sure.
To the top.
All right. Coming in with absolutely zero votes. Yeah. No votes.
How many votes did you get?
We had 58 total votes.
Okay,
and there was 67 people or so on our Patreon. So that's pretty good.
It's a pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
With zero total votes, Brennan's Tatsumaki origin story. Absolutely nothing. I mean, by his own admission, he said that was his second favorite child. Like, he was just like, I had the one that I felt really good about and this one.
He could have picked something a lot better, a better idea.
But as many animes as he's seen, I am disappointed.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
I'm surprised.
For his second choice,
I mean, but even having to stick to the stuff that we've all either watched or been on the anime that's been on the podcast, he still should have done better.
Lot to choose from. We could have got a cool bar side story. I would have loved that.
He could have got somebody from the actual, from One Punch that was better.
True.
Yeah, so we had that, and then after that we had Mako, Back Alley Doctor, comedy show from Kill la Kill, two votes.
Got two votes, though, baby. Better than zero, I'll tell you that shit.
Next we had Brennan's other show.
Damn. Rounding out the bottom
three. I was down for this one, though.
Yeah, this one would have been cool.
This is not bad. Yeah.
He put all his eggs in the basket.
He wasn't there to defend it. I'll give that.
I think that was a big part of it.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I was just gonna say, I think that was a big part of why it probably didn't, resonate as much, because he wasn't there to explain his vision. It was on us, and to be fair, we didn't really try.
No, I'll be honest with you. What it really
was, I mean,
what it really was, if he would have said, "Let's do just a pre-pillar story," it probably got more votes. But you try to center in around a guy that we don't. I understand what you try to explain, but it still wasn't, I don't think even was good enough, even if you were here, to explain to get it that many more votes.
Yeah.
But if you would have gave just a whole pre-pillar story to these early pillar stories with all of them,
yeah,
that I'm all for. I'm still for now. They do that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
After that, we had Rengoku replaces Tanjiro. What is story from Demon
Slayer?
Y'all
really that was be fucking with Tanjiro, man. Yeah. Wow.
I was watching Demon Slayer. I was catching up on it. I'm like, why doesn't Ice like Tanjiro? I love this
Rob
dude.
Rob and I were having this discussion. We understand why you don't.
He's not that guy.
Is he? He's not.
He's not that guy.
He's literally that guy. I don't.
He's not that guy though. Like when it like he is, but he is because of plot armor. But like he's not the strongest of the people around him.
I will
him.
Give you his self-esteem is definitely does get on my nerves a little bit watching the show. He's not very confident in himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
wasn't meant to do this. Do we understand this?
Don't give me that Sinji ass excuse.
But here's the thing.
No. He decided to do it. He went and trained.
It's not a Sinji excuse because he actually gets it the fuck done.
He does.
And he actually goes out and gets it done.
There were moments when I was just like, just stop crying and just get up and
just
like,
fucking
do
it. Yeah. True. And the people around, it'd be different. Like, okay, the pillars, okay, they're way stronger than you. Get it. But your boys, they with the shits. Like, Inosuke with the shits. Zenitsu, he's not with, only when he's asleep. Yeah, but when he's asleep, he get active.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to ruin nothing. But yeah, the more I talk,
just looking at what's been on the show recently, like he and Inosuke teamed up to get that lower moon one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, so at this point, they've teamed up and that's both of their biggest
accomplishments. He would have died.
On his
if
own,
it wasn't
absolutely.
For Inosuke.
Yeah,
he
but
would
Inosuke
die.
Too.
There's so many occasions that he would have been dead.
There's so many instances throughout the anime where it's like, if somebody wasn't there, he would have fucking died.
But what you're saying makes zero sense because if anybody wasn't there for any of them besides the pillars, they would have died.
Yeah, all so three of them so at this point
so
have
oh, yeah, of course.
So there's
but
no,
I'm saying,
so there's
when
no
you
moment,
talk about when you talk about main characters, there's defining moments that main characters, for the most part, have had by themselves. Tanjiro really, throughout the, he's not that guy. I don't want to ruin nothing, but
spoilers.
I feel like in the manga, different things happen, but in the first season, I can take that. In the first season, to being like, all right, I see there's something there, there's potential with this guy, but I like seeing the main character not being the strongest
or
and the
not
best.
Winning all
this
the time
show
in
particular. They were watching.
Oh yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not the guy.
By far, he's
not that guy.
No. So
he's not that guy.
I see
him being that guy at the end of the series though.
Sure,
I see that.
Shit,
possibly. Yeah. We'll see.
So up next we had actually Ice's other show with 9 votes was Wolfwood's origin story from Trigun.
Damn, I must have failed hard. I was like second for a minute.
Honestly, you were second there. Then.
I was first, then I dropped to second,
and tied for second place. Both of my shows had 10 votes. Both of them came in. That was Thor's prequel.
Both of his shows just
I'm not mad at that. And that was so Ling battles his siblings for the throne of Jing, and the Thor's prequel series. Those both got 10 votes each, and then Kenan. With his Killua avenges his family pitch idea from Hunter x Hunter, or from Hunter x Hunter, 18 votes. Keenan, first place. Your show is greenlit. Congratulations.
Thank
you,
man. I knew this show should have been made. I think it was an easy go-to. And, I mean, I left it there for other people to pick. I was trying to wait for other people to pick there because I was just like, all right, somebody can probably pick Killua. And I was going to actually try to pull a different story from Killua and try to come up with something more, like, super, super creative. But I was like, all right, this is somewhat creative, but it's like what people want to see actually. We actually want to see this.
For sure. And the only reason I didn't go with a Killua show is because I'm still watching it. And my fear was I was going to come in and pitch a show to you guys and you'd be like, that's season 5.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, got well, it. Shit. Now I spoiled it for myself and I didn't do the assignment. So, Killua was a great choice. He's a great character. I'm in the Antarctic right now, still pretty early on, but it's getting there.
Did anything happen with Killua? And Anart?
So right now, they left because Kite was like, get the fuck out of here. You guys aren't. And he got fucked up. And then they went off into the next town. They ran into like the old dude and his two buddies on their way in. Yeah. And they're just like, go fight our students in that town. And if you can beat them, you can come back. Yep. So they've been like training with Biscuit again. And they're about to fight those guys like for real. Gon like had his one-on-one with Knuckle, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm. With the hair. It looked like Bulat.
Yeah. It's like a Bulat, Kuwabara sort of deal. Yeah. But they've been training, and literally they're like, all right, tonight's the night. One guy each. Killua's going to go for Shoot. Gon's going to go for Knuckle, and they're about to, like, go off. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. I kind of forgot, like, episode-wise where stuff is.
I think that's only 14, and it's a 60 episode season.
Yeah.
6-0. I could not believe that shit when I saw it.
It is. It is. It can be.
All right. Yeah. No. So congratulations, Keenan. You get the bragging rights.
Yeah.
Well
man,
done.
Hey.
Well done.
I feel good because I just knew Brennan's wasn't going to win, and I knew Brennan's
that's
was going
a win.
To be.
That's a win for everybody.
Everybody beat Brennan. So, yeah. How does he feel, man? How does Brennan? You still in the chat?
He gonna
bro?
Be on you that you beat that he beat one of your shows though.
Huh?
He gonna be on you that it beat one. He beat one of your shows.
He has a show that got 0 votes. I don't care.
That is rough.
He has a show
if
that got
average,
zero
if
votes.
If you average it out, Keenan does win.
Yeah. I had one show
and
that was better than yours.
You combined Keenan and I shows. We tied for most of us. I'll take that.
Yeah.
That's my moral victory right there.
I knew you know it was funny, but I thought that was like, I feel like Rock will be like, well, technically.
Technically. Tied for first year. I don't know. As you look at the numbers. No. Well done, Keenan. It's a great idea.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, I liked a few of these ideas in the sense of like I will watch a couple of these shows to be honest.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
I mean, yeah, that was the point.
Is it what?
No. Yeah. When Rob was pitching him to me, I was like, yeah, I would watch this.
Yeah. So
yeah. So thanks for everybody for voting. That was really cool. We'll do more stuff like that in the future.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
We'll put more stuff to the fans. So if you're not in the Patreon, it's always time. Join, and we'll have more polls coming your way.
And get Tandro out of here.
So you know we're continuing this week with are we is that what we're going to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, yeah.
Comic Got Killed. A Comic Got Killed episodes 5-8, and boy oh boy, man. This show is moving.
It is moving.
And they're moving without a lot of motherfuckers. They don't care.
Leaving them by the wayside.
Literally.
You can't come with us.
All right. Live action would probably be crazy. It's like, hey, this is your script. It's like it's
5 pages.
It worked.
Yeah. And honestly, this could probably, I mean, they probably shouldn't because I don't know how big this is to the world. Mm. But like as of right now, when we see, this can probably be done as a live action because it's not a whole bunch that needs to be done, I think. Some CGI stuff, but like as of right now, it's still they'll fuck it up, of course.
Yeah,
of course,
I was gonna say I think I'm out on live action.
See, honestly,
but
Keenan,
we'll see
that,
with next week.
Cowboy Bebop had, if you look at the CGI on that, all that looks good. It's the other stuff.
It's just
the
story.
And some of the stuff they just got in the camera doesn't look good.
Even if it's an easy to like quote unquote produce show, they could easily fuck all that.
Yeah, I feel like honestly the show that would have the least amount of work and would be fucking dope live action is Megalobox. I can't think of an anime that can be better adapted to live action than Megalobox.
Yeah, it's like a Rocky story or something like that.
Yeah, and they kind of did it with what was that Hugh Jackman movie?
Oh, Real Steel?
Yeah, Real Steel.
Was it Real Steel?
I think it was Real Steel.
Yeah. I mean, they will probably be doing, they're probably looking at something similar to that in a sense, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those are actually robots in there, but like.
Pulling your heartstrings.
Ooh, Invisible Walk says it's like Iron Fist Season 1. Iron Fist Season 1 was
trash.
Oh, wow.
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was...
I would never forgive Iron Fist for that. I think that actor might have fucked his career up, too, because I haven't seen him
100%.
Since.
100%. And, I mean, the rumor is, too, that he was, like, not training, not, like, doing the stunt work. Like, and I've seen some people, like, put stuff together. Like, they were comparing, like, what's his name? Simu Liu from... Shang-Chi, him versus what Danny, the guy who played Danny Rand did, and it's like night and day. Like Simu Liu, like crushed it. He did great. Like his stunt work is really good in the movie.
Yeah.
And you see this other dude. It's like it looks like Steven Seagal at that like Russian karate tournament.
Yeah.
Just like the people are like flipping over. It's just like it does not look.
I didn't
good.
Finish season one of Iron Fist.
Oh, it was brutal.
Don't worry about it.
It was brutal.
Do not worry about it.
Especially coming off the heights of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and the first season of Luke Cage. It's like Iron Fist about to be. My God.
Because I know when I was watching, what's the name? When I saw the trailer for Shang-Chi, I was just like, this guy doesn't look like he has it. And then I watched the movie. I was like, okay, wait a minute.
This
wait
guy,
a minute. Yeah. He's
that
nice
fight,
with
that
it.
That fight on the bus? Yeah. That was
he was
intense.
Nice with it.
Even when he fought that dude with the mask and they had like the dagger, like switching hands and flying in the air. That was a dope scene.
I just felt like they, was that Tony Jaa in there? No, that was a dude from, not Unbought. That was a dude from The Raid.
Yeah.
Dude from The Raid was in there.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like, I felt like they dropped it. They keep not letting him get in an American movie or whatever, or a movie that's made out here anyways, like love for real.
Yeah.
They keep putting him as this little side character or Tony Jaa's like a side character. It's like, let them fucking shine, bro. They're monsters.
They've earned it. Shit. Absolutely. You doing your own stunts?
Hell yeah. If they're giving me a movie where I got to fight, I'm getting in the best fucking shit. You're going to see me shredded. I'm going to make sure that choreography, I'm going to be sleeping to that choreography. I'm going to be doing that shit in my fucking sleep. Because I don't want, one, I wanted to look fire. That's number one.
Yeah.
I wanted to look fire. But then I don't want the backlash. It's like, you didn't train. I want people to be like, yo, if the movie was bad, he was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But the movie was just bad. But yeah, Keenan?
The writing was garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's how you stay alive. Honestly, that's how, if we want to be completely honest, King Richard was great. But prior to that, Will Smith ain't had a dope-ass movie in a long time. But he's been able to sustain himself as Will Smith because he shows up every fucking time as Will Smith. But he's been in some shit-ass movies, and it's no fault of his own. And I think that's how people keep working with you if you show up. So to that point, that shit, you might have a terrible writing team that got you doing some trash shit.
Yeah.
But you were so cold.
Well, you gotta do the bad movies to make the money to do the good movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, they said Kuroko no Basketball can get done.
I'm talking about shit that we
want
to
see.
Shit that we want
to
see.
They probably would find a way to fuck that up, to be honest.
Yeah, no way. All right, Kami ga Kill. Anyway, let's get into it.
Let's go.
Episodes 5-8. So we open up on Tatsumi dreaming about his friends moving on into the afterlife and awakens to find Ditsy Shiel in his room, who was there to inform him that she will be his next instructor. So she trained. Or he's training, like she's training him with, he swims with armor on, and he's like, hey, like, why don't you have any other chores around the house? And she explains she's so ditzy, she's been exempt from helping with any of the chores because she's so bad at them. He asks her how, you know, she wound up as an assassin. You know, she doesn't really seem the type. And she tells him the story about how she was always picked on for being clumsy, but she did have one friend who was kind to her. And one day she was with her friend, and an angry ex came by and started to strangle her friend, choking her out. And Shiel killed this dude. Mm. Straight up knife in the neck. Even though it was ruled as self-defense, she lost her friend and the ex's gang came looking for revenge. She'll kill them all too, with ease. No problem. And then realized, hey, my airhead ways have actually made me an excellent killer. So she became an assassin. And after the story, Tatsumi realizes, you know, pretty much everybody in this crew has some sort of tragic past or story.
Yeah.
Later, Nagenda has Tatsumi try out the Emerald Eye that they collected off of Zanku to possibly be his Imperial arms. And even though he's able to use it a little bit, it seems like he doesn't really have an affinity for it. And the Imperial arm rejects him, you know, kind of basically starts, you know, just won't work, falls off his body essentially. And she's just like, all right, instead, we'll give it to the Resistance Army. That's like their side mission is just to collect these things anyway. And they'll just have to keep looking for his special weapon, which, you know, they'll eventually find. So she gives him a big book of the Imperial arms, tells him, like, memorize them, you know, and he gets excited thinking, you know, maybe one of them will have the power to bring his friends back to life. But everyone in Night Raid scoffs, is just like, dead is dead. There's no coming back.
Dead is dead. That should be the name of the show.
Dead is dead. So Tatsumi goes off alone, upset by this, but Shiel follows and comforts him, and, you know, they're definitely starting to bond. Elsewhere, up in the north, General Ezdeath, one of the Imperial Army generals, conquers a northern kingdom and kills the prince that she made her pet out of boredom.
Licking her boots.
Bro.
Look at her boots.
That was some gangster crazy shit.
It was some pretty crazy shit.
I love how
shit.
They didn't show it. They just showed it is cut to and he's licking her boot. I was just like, okay, she's about to be a motherfucking monster.
Mm. Yeah.
She's about
to
be a beast.
Yeah, because I think even Nagenda says like the most powerful arms user out there uses ice. Yeah. And so and she kind of like touches her eye. So I think Ezdeath probably fucked up Nagenda at some
curse
point.
Curse mark on the cleavage.
Something like that.
The curse mark cleavage out here. Dang.
But yeah, after she kills this prince, she's basically like, all right, troops, get ready to return to the capital. At the capital, the emperor's advisors inform him that there's more and more of their generals are flipping over to the revolutionary side. The emperor isn't worried since, you know, they're still all based in the south. Minister chimes in that they'll finish off their enemies by having General Ezdeath hunt down Night Raid, who is becoming an increasingly troublesome band of assassins. In the city itself, Tatsumi and Leon are shopping in the market when some people that Leon owes some money to chases them down. As they run, they get separated and Tatsumi gets lost. But he finds a guard named Seryu, a young woman with her own Imperial arms. It looks just like a goofy dog, which is named Koro. And apparently this has strong feelings for justice. That was what helped them bond, is Koro sensed Seryu's strong sense of justice. And she helps Tatsumi get back to an area he recognizes, and they separate. Tatsumi realizes, you know, he should tell Nagenda about this other soldier with the Imperial arms. And Seryu returns on her hunt for Night Raid, the group that killed her master, not knowing that Tatsumi himself is the true killer that she's looking for. Later that night, Night Raid is on a mission to kill a group of lady killers. Leon and Tatsumi are in a brothel. They witness one of the owners drugging and beating their prostitutes. And Leon recognizes one of them as an old friend from the slums. And she just gets enraged. They hop into action. Two of them just slaughter the gangsters who never really stood a chance at all. On the way home, Tatsumi says Leon was kind to help her. And she licks his ear and says that she's now claimed him for when he's older.
I like it. I like it.
You like...
How old is he?
He, I mean, probably, I'm assuming mid to late teens. Like, I assume like 14, 15.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
You like it?
I mean, I didn't, I thought he was like 18, 19. So. Well, how old is she, though?
I assume she's like in her 20s.
Yeah, she's in her 20s. You like it?
She wilding out.
She's just like, I claim you for later.
Shit.
Elsewhere, Miney and Shiel return from their mission, but are ambushed by Saryu, who's been waiting for them. She unleashes Koro, who transforms into a hulking monster with spiked teeth, attacking the girls viciously. They cut and shoot the beast, but they're not able to find its core, which they need to destroy to kill it. Shiel realizes that, you know, they can go after Saryu instead and turns it into two one-on-one fights. Miney's able to use her gun to keep Koro from hurting her, and figures if she just keeps shooting, it's only a matter of time before she hits the core. Shiel, meanwhile, chases Suryu into the woods. We see in a flashback Suryu being trained by her master, one of the guys that, again, Tatsumi killed. As they finish their session, he tells her about a procedure that he could recommend her for that would make her stronger, but it will be very painful. And she's just like, sign me up. Back in the present, Shiel and Suryu clash, and Suryu thinks she has the advantage for a moment, but Shiel cuts her arms off, but reveals that underneath the procedure, she had guns implanted in her arms, and fires at Shiel, but she's able to block it with her scissors, and then cuts off those gun arms as well. In a last-ditch effort, Suryu screams for Koro to go berserk. Dog transforms into an even more monstrous form.
Man.
Grabs Miney and starts just crushing her, breaking her arm. It's about to be curtains when Shiel jumps in, cuts her free, but is suddenly shot in the back by a gun Suryu was hiding in her mouth. As she falls, Koro bites Shiel in half.
Bro.
In half! Sealing the deal.
Bro, let me tell you something. That girl with the guns in the mouth and the hands, like, dog. When you first meet her, I didn't think nothing like this was about to happen.
I thought, I was like, oh, she's going to join the gang.
She's gonna join the She's gonna join the gang, or she's gonna be like she's gonna probably not necessarily go through with the fight. She's gonna get beat up pretty easily.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be like, no, you don't know your master was like doing all this shit. He was making all these crimes or whatever. Like
Tatsumi, this motherfucker literally dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
If she would have been like, oh, you one of them? Oh, I got to smoke you out, bro.
He would have got smoked.
Been done.
Her honestly, she might have got Lionel too.
Yeah.
That would be a good fight.
I don't know, but I just know she's. She was dogging him out, no pun intended. Yeah. And it was like, dog.
It wasn't even, like,
it was,
she,
yeah.
No, Shiel, how are you saying that? Shiel? She had her on the ropes, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't for that, but she knew she had that trump card, and she didn't know what it was, but that when it came out her throat, that's when I was like, oh, you sick.
Well, the problem was, is like, you got to understand, she didn't understand was, she should have just killed it right
off
there.
She should have. If she left Miney go.
Yep.
She could have had
her. She had her.
Because they said if you would have killed her, wouldn't her imperial arm would have
would have died too? Yep. So you kind of just she went against your own right.
That's
her
being a little ditzy, a little slow.
But as her last act, Shiel does use her scissors' special ability to emit a blinding light. It's enough for Miney to escape as the imperial reinforcements arrive. Shiel apologizes to her team that she won't be able to return as Koro chomps down on her, finishing her off. As Suryu cackles in victory,
bitter in half, dog,
dude. Back at the Night Raid hideout, the group is shocked to hear about the news from Shiel. You know, Tatsumi's about to go run off for revenge, but Bulat stops him, saying, you know, it's essentially suicide. Instead, Tatsumi visits the grave of his friend, and Shiel's spirit appears and hugs him from behind, as she had the time before when she comforted him.
This is episode 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 6. As this happens, General Ezdeath returns to the capital and sees the Emperor. She's offered a reward for her victory, but she refuses it, gives it to her men, says instead she will hunt down Night Raid, and as her reward, she wants to fall in love with a man that fits her list of descriptions that she has. The Emperor,
I already know where this is going.
Yeah, I got a pretty good idea. Mm. The Emperor and the Minister are more than happy to oblige, and Ezdeath gets the hunt started by sending her lieutenants, the three beasts, after Night Raid. At the Night Raid base, Tatsumi... is astounded by how Akami is, you know, handled the death of Shiel so calmly, and she helps Miney to eat with her injury and prepares food for Shiel's grave. But when he comments to her about it, she just breaks down, and it's clear she's just holding it together to try and keep a calm head and
I love this.
Put on a brave face for everybody.
I love that they didn't keep her as this robot pretty much,
yeah,
you know, throughout the show. And she showed emotion, was just like, motherfucker, I'm struggling to hold this together, but I have to. I have no choice but to.
Yeah, just some real shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tatsumi is embarrassed that, you know, he assumes she didn't feel the same grief as him and renews his promise to her to stay alive. The next day, he gets right back at it to training with Akami and Bulat to get better. And Bulat's even trying to tell him, like, oh, you got to work on your awareness, you know, fighting multiple enemies.
Bro, he said, you know I'm pretty good with a spear, right? This dude is wild, dog. He has thrown a few subliminals to get that ass from Tatsumi.
He's just like, ass. Hey, man. You picking up what I'm laying down? I mean, you can call me Manson.
Who?
Or you can call me bro.
Fuck it. Midway question. Who's the bottom?
Oh, no.
Between the two of them?
Yes.
Oh, it's Tatsumi. Yeah, sure. Yeah. 100%.
100%. Ain't no way he ain't the bottom,
not
bro.
At all. Maybe on his birthday.
Yeah. On his birthday. Mm. No, he absolutely. On the road, we see a politician that sympathizes with the resistance making his way to the Capitol. Soon they are blocked on the road by the three beasts. His bodyguard goes out to confront them, but the three beasts cut down all the guards, murder the politician, and torture his bodyguard. Then spread night raid flyers around the scene.
No,
to
that
make
was
it
his
look
daughter,
like it was
wasn't
them.
It?
Yeah, it was his daughter.
Yeah, that was his daughter. Yeah.
Skinned her face.
Bro. They're not playing any games in the show.
No. Yeah, just Hannibal Lecter style, just took her face.
Because it's episode 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Najenda wants to strike back to protect their name and has Night Raid split into three teams. Leona sent to spy on Ezdeath while Tatsumi and Bulak go to guard a potential political target on a boat. Akame and Lubbock go to guard another political target in a small village. Akame and Lubbock find nothing in their area. It's pretty much straightforward. There ain't nothing here. So we join Tatsumi and Bulak on a huge cruise ship. Tatsumi is undercover, keeping an eye on things while Bulak uses his cloaking armor to watch in stealth. Tatsumi's very impressed with the armor, and Bulat explains, you know, that has always, you know, it's always been his partner and helped him in battle. And he goes on that in the old days as a soldier, he had a commanding officer that basically refused a bribe from the minister and was arrested. That came for Bulat too, but he used the armor, the armor's invisibility to escape. And that's how he got into the resistance.
What's the over and under Bulat uses armor to sneak around and look at some stuff he shouldn't be looking at? What's the over-under, man?
I feel like he's a pretty noble guy. I don't think he uses it.
Think so?
Yeah, I don't think that.
Some other people might.
He's handsome. He could probably get it without...
Lubbock would.
Yeah. Is that the green dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would definitely. Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, no.
Yeah.
I don't think he went in on some shower stuff, but I think he's watched Tatsumi sleep. I think he that type of dude is like...
So. He probably would just have to pull up himself and be like, bro, you got to get up to train or something like that. But he was there 10 minutes before he woke. Tatsumi up. I think that's probably the most
gentle caress of the face.
Yeah.
Bro. With Leon, she's able to find Ezdeath alone, and though she is tempted to attack, she senses the whole thing is a trap and leaves before springing it. And Ezdeath senses everything and is impressed at her restraint. Back on the ship, the three beasts begin their attack. One of them plays a melody on their flute, causing most of the passengers to fall asleep. Tatsumi barely manages to stay awake.
This is a damn train arc again?
Kind of, right? But he is confronted by the other beasts, a large man with a huge axe. They clash, and the axeman lands a few hits on Tatsumi, but Tatsumi's just like, all right, I'm going to rush in, you know, make his own thrown axes hit him instead. But Bulat knocks him out of the way, tells him the whole thing was a trap, steps in to fight the axeman instead, tells Tatsumi, listen, pay attention, and summons his armor. He launches into attack, and the three beasts all attack at once in a surprise attack. Still, Bulat knocks two of them away and slices the axeman clean down the middle from the top of his head. Just unzips him.
Shout out to Trunks for setting this up. Anybody get cut to half, shout out to Trunks, man. You know who you got it from, bro. But hey, that was brutal. That was crazy.
They kind of reminded me, although they're nowhere near as strong as them, but they kind of reminded me of the Royal Guard in Hunter x Hunter. It's like the three people, but again, not nearly as strong. You've seen the Royal Guard, haven't you?
They are like all just getting born right now. So like the last one just got born, some like big like red dude or whatever. Yeah. But the cat lady and the butterfly man with wings is around playing violin or
whatever. All three of them are dogs.
I believe it.
Yes.
Well, because I saw the matchup between the cat lady and Kite.
It's about to get busy later on. You'll see.
Tatsumi is in awe, but you know, one of the other beasts steps forward, ready to fight, and it turns out to be Bulat's old commanding officer, now working for Ezdeath. The old General Liver explains that Ezdeath saved him from execution from the Emperor and is now basically owes her all his loyalty, even if it means killing his old protege. They fight, and Liver reveals his Imperial arm is a ring that allows him to control water.
It's a dope Imperial arm, bro. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
As they fight, Tatsumi tries to hold, you know, the last beast, the Flute Boy, back, but is overpowered.
Flute Boy.
That's all he gets.
Oh, that's a lady?
No,
I mean, that's a dude. I assumed he was a lady.
I thought it was a girl, but they say...
I thought it was a girl.
Are you watching... No, I'm watching dub. I'm watching sub.
I'm watching dub, so you and Dub, he sounds like a flamboyant, like he's not like a flamboyant kind of gay dude.
Yeah, they gave it like, you know, an effeminate voice essentially in the sub, and then but like they always refer to him as he and
oh
you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I thought it was a lady.
Yeah.
But so he's trying to fight Flute Boy, but is just completely overpowered, even with his opponent being injured.
Flute Boy sounds so disrespectful. That is terrible.
Hey, come over here.
He can get
night.
All
what's his name? Flute Boy. Come
fuck,
over here.
Fuck Flute Boy. Yeah. Liver hits Bulat with several huge attacks, but his armor allows him to push through. He dives down at his old general and is about to kill him when Flute Boy gets in the way. Takes the attack instead. Bulat then loses his armor from all the damage he's taken. Liver is bleeding out of his ears. In a last-ditch effort, Liver tries to recruit Bulat to him, you know, join him in Esdeath, but he refuses. Draws his sword. Liver injects something into his neck, and they clash in battle again. Bulat breaks Liver's sword and wounds him, but Liver uses his water powers to send his blood, his own blood, at Bulat as a last-ditch attack. And he blocks most of it, but the needle-sharp blood does break through some of it and gets through his armor, and Liver reveals that what he injected himself with was poison. He tells Bulat there's no cure, that he'll be waiting for him on the other side, and he dies.
Golly, bro.
At what length? And that show old support in it. God damn.
His old guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Flute Boy, the last of the three beasts, then plays his trump card, allowing him to use his flute to change his physique to make him huge and muscular. Tatsumi stands up and tries to hold up Bulat, but knows he can't beat his opponent, especially now that he's powered up. But Bulat gives Tatsumi the key to his armor, telling him he should inherit his imperial arms. Flute Boy thinks the armor will crush Tatsumi since he's so weak, but Bulat is sure because of Tatsumi's reaction to the armor, they'll have a strong affinity. He explains that the armor is made from a dragon beast that can survive in literally any environment, adapts to each user. It's still alive, even when locked inside the armor. And Tatsumi uses the key. The living armor erupts and forms around Tatsumi. So now armed with his own imperial arms, Incursio, Tatsumi feels stronger than ever. Flute Boy rages at this, charges forward in an attack, but Tatsumi punches his fist, stopping the first attack, and follows up with a second punch that sends Flute Boy back so hard, he just splatters against the wall.
Shit.
Turns him into a Jackson Pollock painting.
Damn, ooh. Jackson Pollock, huh?
And as Bulat dies, he comments to himself. Yeah. He comments to himself that Tatsumi could become even stronger than him and slowly fades away. Tatsumi is victorious but cries over the dead body of his friend. And elsewhere, a young girl named Kurome sits atop a pile of dead bodies eating candy. And soon a soldier approaches and tells her that she's been summoned to the capital to join a 6-person team of specialists. And Kurome gets excited by this and wonders if it means she'll see her sister again. So I think we know who that
Dog,
can probably be.
This show is wild. Giving you, which I feel like it's giving me what I want, like back to back to back to back.
Or
it's not stopping. But Flute Boy might have had the weakest moment in this whole show.
That's Flute Boy.
That's why you Flute Boy. How you get that Imperial arm? That Imperial arm is low key trash, dog.
Yeah.
Because it didn't really affect them that much. And then you use it for your trump card. And your trump card is you getting buffer and bigger, and you get smacked one hit.
That was it.
That's it.
You put up
one punch.
One punch man, literally.
Tatsumi, one punch man, this guy.
Thanks again, Rob, for another recaps. Amazing recap. When you be writing your recaps, do you like, because I know when I write jokes, and probably the same with Keenan, it's like, we writing something, it's like, yo, this going to fuck them up. Like, I'm going to shut shit down with this one.
Sometimes.
Do you be writing your recaps like, when I say this Jackson Pollock reference, I'm about to shut the fucking club down. Like, I'm about to fuck him up with this one.
I had a pretty good feeling about Flute Boy. I had a pretty good.
Two-part question. Have you ever said something and it bombed?
Oh, definitely. I can't think of one now, but absolutely, 100%.
You said Flute Boy, like, you know, both of us are sitting there like.
So, anyway, Flute Boy.
Flute Boy. Anyway,
move on with that Flute Boy shit, man. that was funny. So good, yeah, great job as always, Rob.
Thank you.
Questions. Let's get to the question portion of the show. Yep. All right, so as we end with Tatsumi inheriting Bulat's armor, do you like that Tatsumi inherited Bulat's armor, and would you have rather have found his own imperial arms, Rob?
I kind of wish he had gotten his own thing. I like Incursio. I like Bulat. I think it's going to be cool that, like, he, you know, I guess you get to still see that power because the armor's dope and the powers are great.
Yeah.
But it feels like they even have said in the stretch of episodes, there's like 40 or 50 of these things.
Right.
They could range a whole, like, you could come up with anything that matches his personality and his fighting style and his type. And they're just like, give him what he had. Yeah. It just feels like a missed opportunity to come up with something cool and a next level that, like, defines this character rather than just being like, he just got what this other dude has. And now he's kind of like, there's like he's gonna be living in that dude's shadow. Like I think both to us and also within the story, he's gonna be always living in the shadow rather than like make it your own thing. So I was a little disappointed to be like, oh, I thought he was gonna get like a dope new thing that we haven't seen yet. Yeah. I mean, I like the armor. I'm not like super mad about it, but I do wish they had taken the opportunity to just expand the world a little bit more rather than being like, yeah, just that thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ice.
I think from a story perspective and how fast they're moving, I can't see them wasting time finding him in Imperial arms. I think they need to keep the story moving. So it's like, that's the best way to do it. It's like, tug on your heartstrings, have the transfer to Imperial arms over, and then just keep going. I think along the way, he might find another Imperial arms that's new and like halfway through make it his.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think from a story perspective, I understand it. Especially if you're at neck-breaking speed. Now, if you got 2-3 seasons, you can kind of do that. But at the rate that they're going, they don't have time for him to find an Imperial arm. So I understood it. I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm kind of like you. I wish he did have his own. But it's like, we got to keep moving. Motherfuckers dying. So, like, take what you can
keep
get.
It moving.
It's either this or nothing.
Keep it snappy.
Yeah, I think they did that because that's the only way he's going to be able to keep up in these fights coming
true.
Up soon.
To make true. It believable.
Yeah, because he's not going to be able to sword fight Imperial arm people and start to beat them. Because at first I was kind of mad when they first was trying to give him the little...
the eyeball thing.
Yeah,
eyeball.
That would have pissed me off.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, this is garbage.
That would have pissed me off.
But then I do think, too, that they're just giving him this as of now. I think he will get his own, or he will stack. I don't know. Can you stack? Did they say you can't stack?
I don't think you can. I don't think they can.
I think, if I anything, he might unlock something that Bulai didn't.
Yeah, I think that's still kind of whack. Yeah. But I don't even see it unlocked. I want him to get his own special thing for him that they haven't seen. And be like, yo, they only said one person ever even mastered this particular one. That type of story type.
Because, like, he doesn't have the spear. Like, the spear's not part of the armor, right? Like, that was all Bulat.
I think that was all Bulat, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, it'll still be a little bit different.
Bulat spear game was,
strong, A1, I guess. Yeah. Strong. But he's got the sword, and he's pretty good with the sword. So, like, don't make him lane switch. Like, just, I guess, if he's going to be in Curzio, if he's going to have that, I guess it'll be cool to just see that be a sword fighter thing.
I think it's going to be. If they stick with that, I think it's going to be considered lazy writing, in my personal opinion.
I get it.
And that would kind of knock it down. Next question. Would you rather reign over the northern frozen tundra or blazing hot desert? And how would you use your terrain to your advantage? So, you know, he was saying that Incursio can live anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. What would you want to live if you had Incursio? Ice.
But I wasn't really basing it off of...
You wasn't basing it off
of... I was just basing off of the
resistances or whatever.
That's what I was going off of. And, I mean, come on. What's my name? Let's be real. I mean, I got to live up to that. I think it would be funny to be like, I'm ice, but I'm over the desert. Yeah. But I think I just got to play it straight and be in the ice. And I think there's many ways that you can do it. Because I always, like, one of the coolest things for me growing up, I had this big-ass book about the X-Men, and it went through all of the X-Men and their powers and everything. And, you know, I went straight to Iceman, because that's me. So I was like, and then they were showing shit that I've never seen, because they always tried to play him out in the movies and then in the comic books.
He's Omega level, isn't he?
Huh?
Isn't he Omega level?
He's definitely strong.
Yeah,
he might be Omega level.
And then reading that, I saw all his powers, and I'm like, oh, Iceman is a fucking shit. Like, he can really be out here. So some of the things is just the manipulation. I think it's you coming in, thinking that it's ice, and then I flip the whole thing to water like that. And it's just like, and then freeze you again. And then I think the big, like, I guess frost giant and stuff that he can turn into. And I think that's really how I would do it, is just like, it'll look like something, and then it'll be a totally different thing. And I would just do stealth through that, like, you talking, I can hear you through any. If you're in here, I can hear you through my eyes. Like, any type of manipulation, I would do it even through like steam and gases. Like, if you think you can melt the ice, that fucking gas can like grab you and shit. Like, I would really be manipulating the ice as much as I could. And it's like, fuck. And you cold at the end of the day. Like, you're gonna be freezing your ass off being, and you still gotta fight me. Like, this is all of this is before you even get to me. And then you got to get to me and fight all of that. So that's how I use it to my advantage.
He is Omega level.
I figured. Me personally, I would go fire. I don't know why I always love fire when it comes compared to fire and ice. I don't think there's really any. I don't think necessarily one's better than the other fully, but it's like there's similar things that you were kind of saying. I would use that to manipulate the surroundings. Also, I would use like when you're coming towards us or when you're traveling towards us, I'm turning that heat up.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be 350 degrees. Can you walk even through that?
Yeah,
I don't think you can. So it's like using that I just love, I feel like lighting people up on fire just looks so dope to me. Just Mustang. Like, you know, Colonel Mustang, Endeavor, Todoroki type shit, even though he's half ice. I would use it to manipulate the weather. I would use it to, there's so many things I would use it for, I guess.
There's stealth options too. If you're in the sand like that, you can.
Yeah, you can manipulate the sand. You can heat the sand up. You can heat water and boil water, boiling motherfuckers alive. Like, yeah. You know, so it'll be, I think either or. I don't think you're wrong with either or, but I like fire. I don't know. You see the fire in your eyes. I feel like Rob's gonna go fire too because he's a redhead. So
honestly, I was thinking ice.
God damn it!
Sorry. Yeah, no,
he's a redhead
because I'm a redhead. No, I would go with ice. It's just because I don't know if I had to pick between the two. I feel like I know the extreme cold a little bit better. Yeah. You know, obviously I've been out here in LA for like 10-11 years now. But grew up with. You know, in the frigid north, where in Syracuse with you know Cam, which Cam knows about.
Cam.
But yeah, no, I guess I would take that. And my thinking too is always just like I feel like you can always like put on more shit to get warmer. If you get hot, there's only so much you can take off.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
like you're just like stuck and just sweating and just like. And let's be honest, I would not do well in the sun.
Yeah.
After a while,
all right, that makes sense.
It would be a problem.
You gotta think about yourself too.
Where I was like, all right, fuck. This is the real reason why I'm not doing the sun. Desert heat.
I will just be a lobster all the time. No, I mean, I said it best with all the stuff you can do. I mean, even just like you see what Todoroki does with the ice. I mean, it can be a beast, you know, beast of a power. And I can't wait to see what Ezdeath does with hers because they are setting her up big. That she's
they better
a
be. It's
monster.
Better not be no Park Mugen shit.
Yeah, it is, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
With her, and I feel like her and Tatsumi are gonna go at it, and then I feel like Akami and her sister are gonna go at it. That's what's probably gonna end up towards. The somewhat end of the show.
That makes sense.
My personal
that
opinion.
Makes sense.
Cam, what about you? Which one would you do?
What is it? Ice or fire?
Mm-hmm.
Tundra or desert?
Cam.
Cam.
Put up the cam.
Cam.
Let the people look at your faces. You think about this.
I may have to go ice. I don't like being hot, and like I know how to deal with the cold. Like what I was saying. So
yeah,
but if you're, but I feel like in a situation where. You're not going to be hot. Like,
either
like,
or.
You're
it's
not
like,
gonna
yeah.
Be, you're
oh, so
not
if you're
be...
not self, if it's not.
Yeah, you are in manipulation.
If I'm able to manipulate it,
And people got to walk through this to get to you.
I mean, both are terrible.
Both are, yeah. And,
big problem.
And as soon as they step foot on either one, you have full manipulation of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, I feel like fire would be better in that regard.
Why so?
I mean, like you were saying, you could just boil somebody because we're, what, 70% water? You could just.
Boil somebody alive in that.
Poof.
Or you could freeze them. Because you could
freeze them below zero.
Because there's all those people that are just like, oh, yeah, you can go like get your body frozen, get revived, but like your blood cells burst. Like they freeze
that's
and
fair,
your cells burst. And
I mean, they're both the
you get thawed
both,
out. Like you just got it full of dead cells.
They're both opposite ends of the spectrum. So.
Yeah.
Cam.
I would say fire. Fire.
I think I think both answers are pretty,
split decision,
pretty dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like somebody, if I had to draw one, I'd be like, oh, fuck. I got fired.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm like, this works.
All right.
Yeah.
We're good here.
Make it work.
I'll make it work. All right. So next question. This was just funny to me. the scissoring duo. who's better at scissoring? sorry.
Oh my god.
Whose scissors would you rather have? Or maybe even in a fight, who would you rather have in a fight? Ryoku from Kill la Kill or what's his name? Shield.
I've been saying Shield, but I could
Shield.
Be wrong.
Shield from Akame Ga Kill.
You said it right.
Yeah, no, fine. Said it right. I do like Shield a lot. I just think she's a little bit dense, but the way she was kind of using her scissors with defense, offense, and getting shit done, and I feel like she was a beast with it, being able to split hers. I think, what's the name? Ryoko, she didn't get her shit until she was half a scissor for like the majority of that season.
Yeah, it took her a while to catch on.
Yeah, so. And I think a lot had to do with Ryoko's suit, to be honest. Like, her suit was the main thing of why she was getting through what the fuck she was getting through.
Yeah.
So I think I would, you know, if I guess it depends where you're placing them at level-wise. If you're placing them six episodes in where she dies, where she fucking dies,
yeah.
I think she beats. I would pick her scissors and her over Ryoko.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because, I mean, part of her Imperial Arm suit is like it can cut through anything, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that right there is also, I think, a level above what Ryoko's are. It's been a while since I've seen Kill la Kill, so I'm a little rusty on it. But, and like, you're right. She does get to that level by the end of Kill la Kill. Like, that scissors is its own, like, Omega level weapon and all that and yada yada. But, like, again, if we're talking about it here, Like, Sheila's a ditz. Obviously, you don't want her helping out around the house because she'll mess up all the stuff. But when it comes to the fight, there's no hesitation. Yeah. She chopped that sister in half in that first episode.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, in her backstory, she was just, like, she got surrounded by, like, 3-4 dudes with no training.
Yeah.
And sliced them and diced them with a kitchen knife.
Yeah, true. And, like, and I think real quick, she didn't have that. She had that, I'll whoop your ass in her, but she didn't have that killer in her.
No.
Yeah. Shield has that, like, yo, if I got to murder you, I'll murder you.
No hesitation.
Yeah, no hesi. Ice?
I give you Ryoku's because she fucking lived to the end of the series. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Who lived to keep their scissors?
Plot armor.
Yeah. Yep. She made it. I think that's it. I think she, and also too, maybe if Shield was able to manipulate the size of the scissors, it'd be better. But just walk around with these big ass fucking scissors.
It's
like,
a lot. For sure.
Ryoku's hat was a manageable size that she can get busy with, and if she wanted to break them in two and have two swords,
they
she could.
Too.
Yeah.
One of them, like, they chopped out. What's the name?
Exactly.
What's the name? Made a good point. Yuslan said they're only good against Goku suits, really.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean.
So that might be an issue if she's fighting somebody else. Like, cause, I mean, she's going to fight sword-wise.
But those suits are fucking top-level suits, though. Like,
yeah.
Regular person that they're going against would get fucking obliterated by that. Like, easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with Ryoku. Just the sheer size. I just feel like any big weapons were always weird to me. Like, the cloud swords and stuff like that. Like, there's only a few swords or big weapons that I actually like.
I mean, that's why I low-key don't like Bleach's sword like that. I'm not...
Bleach's sword? Oh, just them overall.
Ichigo?
Yeah, Ichigo sword is hella this... Fat and
big,
like, yeah, just like I'm not a fan of it. Next question: in a matchup of possessed stuffed animals, who wins in a fight between Koro, the Imperial Arms, Khan from Bleach, or Panda from Jujutsu Kaisen?
Was it Khan or Kone?
Kone.
I mean, I'll just be real. I put Kone in here just to have a third option. Maybe somebody wanted to have a wild take and talk about how they could make it work, but Kone's just...
He's gonna get smashed.
I was actually rewatching Panda's fight with Mekamaru from Jujutsu Kaisen coming into this episode because I was like, you know, could Panda stand up to this? I think it would be close.
Yeah,
Panda's no joke.
I think Panda could do some stuff. Panda, I've not seen who he's fighting, but he could.
Koro, I mean, the thing is, like, Koro gets huge.
Yeah,
but it's a similar deal where, like, they both have like a core that you have to destroy.
Yeah,
I think Panda has a little bit of an advantage because he has three.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's got three cores versus this core thing only has one.
Yeah.
But it can get huge and it can crush him. If Panda can stay, like, the tough part is Panda, even in his, like, his gorilla mode or whatever, he's got to be in close. He's got, like, no real long-range weapon.
Right.
But if he can stay out, if he can keep fast and nimble and, like, stay out of that thing's grasp, stay out of the, like, biting, like, range, like, dodge that, I think Panda could fuck this thing up.
I mean, that seems what the chat is saying, Panda.
Yeah. Ice?
Panda. yeah, Panda's winning. I don't even think it's that close. I think that Berserker mode put no, it didn't really scare me like that. And I think it was cool. He got big, got the little crazy sea monster teeth. But it was like, the thing is, Panda is smart. Like, Panda is fucking smart. So he would have put it together like, oh, it's not here. Oh, you're moving it around? Because I feel like they might get to where it's like, I'm moving my core around. You don't know where it is. And it's like, Panda's like, fuck all that.
You're saying too much.
Huh?
You're saying too much.
Moving stuff around?
No.
That's completely
unrelated. Yeah, I was just saying that just to say.
Oh, I got you.
But, like, Panda is watching him. I don't even think it's close for real. And then also, too, he don't have a mind of his own. So, like, once Panda figure out that it's homegirl, he gonna be like, oh, fuck out of here.
Smash
like,
her, no pun intended.
It's essentially what he did in his fight with Mekamaru in a way. He was just like, oh, you're just a puppet.
Yeah.
I can handle that. I can handle a puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it to Panda too, because I didn't see any fighting skills with Koro. Like, I just saw it was just like a big monster, strong as shit, raged out.
Yeah.
And I know Panda, you said Panda has intelligence. Panda's also strong himself, and then Panda can fight. So I just think at this thing's gonna be just snapping berserk, going crazy. Once panic or goes, all right, let me figure this motherfucker out, take my time, I think he eventually gets a W. I don't think it goes that long. Or like you said, he finds out who's controlling it, smashes him out, game over.
Yeah.
Easy work.
Anyway, I was watching that and I was just like, man, I miss Panda. I miss that show. Can't wait for JJK.
I can't wait for him to come back.
Justice Crazy Homegirl with the guns, can she hang with Panda?
Suryu?
Yeah.
The controller.
I think Panda is destroying her.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, in the fight with Makimaru, that dude unleashes, like, huge, like, Kamehameha level blasts at Panda. Yeah. And he just takes it.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, all right, I can take a couple more of those.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's worried about a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That's been a general consensus, and I was talking about this on my YouTube, and it's just like, there's a general consensus, like, guns just aren't strong in animes. Like, anytime I see a character with a gun on an anime, I'm like, I'm whatever about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few characters in between, and maybe if the show is about guns, like a Cowboy Bebop or something, but if there's any other element outside of guns in that anime, guns are fucking
useless.
Or
even any projectile weapon. Like,
exactly.
Look at Chad.
Yeah, in Bleach.
In Bleach.
If there's the only way guns have any type of effect, if that's the king weapon. If there's magic, any other type
of
thing.
Who's the one cyborg from One Punch Man?
Genos.
Yeah, he's always getting fucking smacked
it's
around.
Like, unless
I hate that too. I like Genos, man.
I like Genos too.
Oh, so do I. He just can't shoot any shit.
Animes, they like fuck these guns, and I guess that's like the Japanese way of honor. Like, how many shows have you seen where it's like they both have each other dead to rights, and it's like, throw away the guns. We're gonna fucking use swords.
But even even the swords are stronger than the guns a lot of times.
Yeah.
They'd be cutting bullets in half and shit like that.
It could be a resistance to the Western, because I think a lot of guns were integrated from
that's
the
true.
West.
She blocked bullets with her scissors.
That's true. I never thought about that. They like, fuck you, Western guys.
That's what I figured,
That's dope. I didn't think about that.
All right, next question. Leon is what you call a good-hearted slime ball. Who is your favorite good-hearted slime ball? Think back alley character type characters. You know, so Leon is the beast character, right? Out here licking. You know, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So you say, just for the record, you didn't like that.
No, I didn't like that. But it's crazy in the sense where, like if that's me, like if a girl licks your ear, you're just going like, oh God, this don't do this to me.
Yeah. You're coming your pants off of that alone.
Yeah, you're
shit.
Just like, man.
Especially 15-year-old.
I'm a no lick my ear person.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
No, right now,
don't do the tongue
in life,
thing.
Yeah.
Don't do the tongue
15-year-old me would have took it, but me experiencing women. Don't lick my. What? Stop.
It's just a weird.
What you doing?
I've had it done. I'm like, nah, just stop.
And I don't lick ears either. Like, nah.
You better hope they're keeping it clean.
You can bite the ear. You cannot lick it.
That was one of my first, I guess, somewhat sexual experiences, I guess. It was
somebody
like.
Somebody licked your ear?
Girl licked my ear, stuck her tongue in my ear.
And you had your hair, right?
When I had my hair, yeah. I was playing basketball. I wasn't playing basketball, but I played on the basketball team. And we were sitting in the bleachers,
so
and the girl was sitting next to me. And I wasn't sweating. I was just sitting in the bleachers watching the freshman team play. We're the sophomore team. And this girl was sat next to me, and she just started licking inside my ear. And I was just like, oh!
That's disgusting. Inside? Maybe the out.
She licked the outer. She was looking the outer stuff first, so it was like kind of like tickled. And then she just like swirled her tongue inside. I was just
your ears are probably not clean at 15.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Fucking at 29, my shit ain't clean. Like
I clean my ears after I'm done in the shower. At that age, I did not.
Yeah, I mean, I still clean my ears every day in the shower. But if somebody were to lick them, they gonna get a fucking surprise. That's just the day. The day goes.
Cam, you're 100% right, bro.
Yes.
I know for a fact I was earwaxed out, and she was disgusting for doing it.
Did you at least have sex with her?
No, we never. No, we never went that far. Nope,
what?
We never got that far. Nope.
He already came in his pants when she did it.
That was it. It wasn't over.
That was like her thing. Like she would just do that. Sometimes she'll see me, she'll hug me, give me a kiss in my ear, and then she'll start doing it. And she wasn't my girlfriend or nothing like that.
And then she would barely
see,
you ain't even know her last name.
She's like European
or something?
In
my
what the fuck?
She's like a black girl.
What the fuck? That don't even how black women operate on some shit like that. At least black women I know, and I ain't never just got my ear licked with no follow-up. No ass.
Just like, oh, hey, how's it going?
Maybe she just likes the way wax tastes.
No,
what?
Fuck?
Likes the way wax tastes.
Dog.
No.
Saying that, Cam? I was like, God damn. Yeah. I know for a fact at 15, my ears.
Oh, right. My gosh. Them shits were trash. As any 15-year-old kids was. Especially
with them
athletes.
What them candies called? The sugar daddy? What were they called?
Sugar babies?
The sugar daddy candies?
Yeah.
That yellow.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's what your ears look like?
At 15? I'm sure at one point.
Sick.
Especially you're just sitting in the bleachers waiting for the game, like
yeah. Did you still have to play that day? Did you play?
Yeah, we played.
I dropped 50.
I was probably weaker than either. I probably dropped like 6, to be honest. Yeah.
His head was elsewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Right.
All right. Yeah. So go ahead, Aisha. What's your
who's your good hearted slime ball?
I mean, low hanging fruit, Reagan.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
I figured he'd get
there. Yeah. That was, I got to get him. I mean, I know we're not doing a draft, but got to take him off the board.
Yeah.
Take him off the board early. I mean, he's, you know, initially I didn't like him as a character, but like very, very quickly that turned around. And then from the minute I liked him, it was just fucking the Reagan show from their point forward. He's a good opposite of Mob. That's just, you know, like very good hearted, very, you know, monotone, not nothing too crazy. And then Reagan's that like, I'm gonna get over, but at the end of the day, I still like people. And then the ending of season one or season two, I can't remember, but he really gets active. And then from that point forward, it's like, Reagan's that guy.
Reagan's
like,
a great choice. I love Reagan.
Yeah. Rob?
I figured Reagan would get get taken, so I was kind of thinking, like, who else would I take? And somebody that came to mind, I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is necessarily somebody that would first come to mind, but I think definitely fits the category. I would say Master Roshi.
God damn it. God damn it, Rob. Fuck. I don't even have a backup, I don't think.
Yeah. But yeah, Master Roshi, I mean, he's like the original quintessential pervy old man.
Yep.
But like, you know, when you need him, he comes through in the clutch. Like, he's trying to help. Like, he's a good dude. But he's a pervert.
Yeah.
He's
an
old pervy old man.
Yeah. Of course.
Each time you got to be like, man, what are you
What are you doing? Why are you getting nosebleeds all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. What's up with that?
Damn.
He can't even ride the fucking cloud around.
Yeah.
Because he's that much of a slime ball. He's like, Goku, you can have this because, like, I can't. He won't even let me out. So that's how much of a slime ball he is. But I mean, you love the guy. He's been around since the beginning, and more or less, like, he shows up in like the second or third episode, and
good
dude, but still around in the tournament of power, you know?
Yeah. Oh fuck, Rob.
Come on, you pitched a show starring one of these slime balls. I feel like last week.
Yeah.
You talking about Mako?
Yeah, yeah. Her whole family. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I didn't consider her a slime ball.
Not her, but like her dad.
Yeah. Her dad for sure. I guess I was gonna. I'll go someplace else. I'll go the purple ball head dude from My Hero.
Which one is that?
Yeah, the dude.
The purple ball.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But his upside. Well, at least I haven't seen it. But I don't feel like his upside is enough.
What do you mean? Like, he said, good hearted slime ball.
I mean, he is.
This is not my favorite. So my favorite is already. I don't even have.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I feel like you. No, I feel like for him. It's similar to Master Roshi. He's kind of a pervert.
Oh yeah.
But the kid means well. He wants his. He loves his team.
He does.
He loves. I was gonna say Tanjiro. He loves. he loves Deku. He believes in Deku.
Yeah.
You know, and he believes in. He believes in his team. And
he's come through in the clutch.
He's
a couple
never
times.
Been scared.
He's never been scared, and he uses those purple balls to get it done. Even though I feel like that's a weak ass thing, but I feel like.
Agreed.
At the end of the day, he's gotten the job done.
True.
And, you know, but it's, like you said, he's a fucking perv too. He loves the girls. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a high school kid that's like 5'3".
Yeah.
Not, you know, he's probably like 4'2", to be honest.
He's tiny.
Yeah. He's little as fuck. So he's probably fantasizing all day, like, man, just wish if I was just a little bit taller, or wish I was a baller, or if I was a girl, if I did have a caller. Like, you know, this dude.
He's 3'7".
3'7".
That's dwarf. Size, I guess.
Yes.
If you want to be politically correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So him, he's a good dude. He means well, but he has that perv in him. I don't know. I was scrambling to think of somebody, and I'm sure when I get a chance to like fully, because you picked Master Roshi, because I knew somebody was gonna pick Reagan. I wasn't gonna. It was your question to go first.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's the poster child outside of him, and then for the Naruto people, Pervy Sage, you know, Master Jiraiya, he's a big one. Mm-hmm. Somebody in the chat said it. I don't want to seem like I'm taking somebody's. Luke Skywalker. He said it, but yeah, that's a great option as well for the Naruto people. But yeah, I think Master Roshi is a great pick as well.
Yeah.
Would and just real quick, would Hisoka make that list? Because he's a slime ball character, but when he shows up, that dude.
But he's a good guy,
fucking
though?
People up. I mean, no.
Yeah, that's
but he could still be a favorite.
You said good-hearted, and at the end of the day, he's, I guess, he's not.
Okay,
he's not,
you said specifically good-hearted slime ball.
Yeah.
He would not fit the
bill.
Yeah,
he's not good-hearted.
Yeah. He's not good-hearted.
At all.
No.
Yeah. He wants what he wants, and that's little boys.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean.
All right.
It's true. There's that scene. They're walking through the woods, and he's walking behind him just like.
Yeah. Looks at his butt, doesn't he?
Yeah. And both Killua and Gon are like,
what the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, no matter how much of a doll Hisoka is, I cannot get him tatted on me. I be seeing people with Hisoka tattoos, and I'm like,
I would like a lot of girls like him because
he flamboyant.
he flamboyant, but I think also too, there's like they have that anime attraction to him. Mm. Like he's like they find him physically attractive as an anime character.
Well, and I just met this other character who's like another one of the students of one of the hunters. This girl with like kind of spindly hair, looks like the girl from like The Ring or something like that.
Oh yeah,
and she's crushing like, on Gon. Like she like multiple times is just like, I'm about this little boy. Like, she's just like blushing.
She actually pretty.
She's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's coming down the road. But like right now, she just looks like the girl from The Ring. Yeah. That's all she looks like right now to me.
Yeah. All right. Last question. This show has been neck breaking fast. We're not even 10 episodes in, and motherfuckers are dead from the main cast. There's no games being played at all in this show.
Yeah.
Who do you think dies next? Because somebody's going to die next. Yeah. Somebody's dying in this next stretch of four episodes, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I don't know his name, but the dude with that does like the little strings.
Yeah, Lubbock.
I think he's out of there, man.
I think so too.
I think he's. They're getting.
I feel like he ain't done enough yet.
That's why I'm thinking. Like,
yes, exactly.
we don't know.
I think they got to give. He got to get busy a little bit.
If you see. Because this is what I noticed with this show right now, at least off these two deaths. When you see a backstory being told, that motherfucker out of there, man.
Out of there. Oh, that's a classic anime thing when they do flashbacks.
Let me tell you all the stories. So
man, you know,
like
this how
me.
I got into the game.
That's Bleach, man. Yeah. God damn. How many times they do that shit?
Naruto does that all the time?
Of course.
Yeah. So, as soon as he, you know, this is how I found my Imperial arms. You're dead, motherfucker. You're out of here.
Because it makes you, like, care about him a little bit more, and then they're like, guess what's going to happen to him?
I'm one day away from retirement.
But honestly, some shows don't do that well. Some shows don't do the flashback, make you care about a character. To be honest with you, this show right now, to me, has done a pretty good job in making you at least be like, damn, not in love with him, you just like, dog.
Man, right now? I was just learning about him.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
And it also made me realize, I'll get into that in my recap.
Sometimes it hurts more when it's like that, when it's like so abrupt and there's just like, that person's just dead now.
Yeah.
It's like,
Now
I don't get to see any more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real.
And I felt more about that with Bulat than Shio.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because they gave Bula a lot more screen time. Even though he's super charismatic, he was funny in there. So I didn't think he was going to go this early, to be honest. Like I had him towards the end, and there when
I thought he was going to make it this time, and later on.
I'll be honest with you. I thought it was going to be on some like Iron Blooded Orphan shit, like the last like 4 to 6 episodes.
That's when
motherfuckers die.
Yeah, I can see that.
They said no. This is episode. Man. I mean, he died episode 8 of 24.
Yeah, we're not even halfway.
That's pretty early on.
That's early, dog.
Yeah. Not 18. 8.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of shook about how this is gonna go. They're gonna be with two motherfuckers with episode 20 left. Yeah. So
just about.
It's just
nice. No,
I think Miney's gone. I think she's out of here. Yeah, I think they gave her enough screen time. She's gone.
Is the one with the gun.
Yeah, with the gun. Yeah. She'll probably get into some deep shit. Her gun to jam. Her gun to do some crazy blast. And it's like, whew, damn, she made it. She alive.
Low key, her gun didn't turn up like I wanted it to.
It did not. Again.
She's supposed to be in more danger. She's in the better it is, and it didn't. Really...
That gun should have just tore up the thing's core. Everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think she gets one more back against the wall. The gun does a big blast, and you think she's killed that person, but then somebody else gonna come and like. Cut her head off or something like that. That's what I think. Miney's out of there.
I think it's going to be an agenda. I think it's their leader, the lady with the eye patch. I think there's going to be maybe like Esdeath like finds out where their hideout is and comes in, and she's just like, "You guys get out of here. Go meet up with everybody in the south. I'll hold them." Like, hey, rematch. Because I think she and Esdeath have history. Because she's just like, there's an ice user out there that's fucking strong.
Yeah.
So she could be like, all right. And plus, she's got like, she's got her robot arm or whatever. So I think
they
she
haven't
can
showed
definitely...
her get busy at all.
They at one point like they showed her like kind not like fight right, but she like shot her arm out at like Leon and like grabbed her and like brought her back when she was trying to like run away. So she can. I think she can fight.
Okay.
I think she'll like cover for everybody and then be like, get out of here. I'll hold down the fort and hold them here.
Do you think she's the leader because she's probably the oldest and smartest, or because she's the strongest?
I think she's the smartest.
Oldest and smartest.
She's the strongest.
Yeah, I don't think she's necessarily the strongest. Okay. I think, personally, I think Akame is probably the strongest.
Yeah.
That's my personal.
I think it's her, then Leonel, and then
Yeah.
That's
well, I mean, that's all that's fucking it. Left.
I mean, mine, I feel like mine is the weakest out of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got Lubbock, who's Lubbock's like around.
There. He's there.
But he's not really doing a whole lot
I
yet.
I want to see him get busy. His turn has to come. You can't just get him up out of here without him doing something crazy one time.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no way that this show keeps going if they just smash off two more characters in his next
stretch. Can't go two every four span episodes because that math don't add up. You don't make it to 24.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to do a whole new team.
Yeah.
Fuck, my whole team's gone, so I got to make a new team. Tatsumi, you're the only person left. Go find new people.
It's a rebuild year. Mm.
Yeah. All right, so... let's give our scores, our likes and dislikes, and our scores for this week. Go ahead, Ice. What you got, man? What's your overall score and what's your likes and dislikes and all that stuff like that?
What I dislike, I didn't like Miney's gun not turning up. I was not a fan of that. I think you said, and she evaluated the situation and said it was a dire situation. She said, "Oh, dang, they have people coming." Our back's against the wall.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, snap. I'm putting it together like, oh, her gun is about to turn up.
Yeah.
It dropped the ball.
Nah.
It pulled a Park Mugen and did not live up to its expectations. That was the only thing that I didn't like. Yeah. What I did like is just everything else. I think my favorite moment was Bulat seeing his old mentor, which I knew it was his old mentor. They didn't really shy away from it. They gave him long hair.
Yeah.
But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is the same guy. Like, honestly, it wasn't that
the haircut fooled me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't that moment for me because I guess from a writing perspective and then also too from like they look exactly alike. He just didn't have short hair. He just kind of a Clark Kent situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get that.
But yeah, that was cool to have that and for them to kind of cancel each other out and for like they're showing if the quote unquote royal guard if her lackeys are willing to go to this length to where I'm taking my own blood out, poisoning myself, taking my blood just to kill you, like if they're going to that length, who knows what the lengths that she would go to in order to kill.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show, and this is again 8 episodes in. Eight episodes in, they getting this busy to where you made this point before the camera started rolling. We had Demon Slayer at the top as far as neck-breaking speed, pushing the story forward. This puts fucking Demon Slayer to bed.
Yeah.
Without even any questions about it.
Agreed.
And it's like, don't get caught up with somebody. Don't have your feelings attached to somebody because there is a... Keenan statistics, 99% chance that motherfucker is gonna die. Overall, I'm enjoying this. I might have been done with this if we didn't have to watch it in 4-episode pieces, just because it's moving that fast. I'm glad I have Bleach right now to kind of alleviate any thirst that I have to keep watching it.
Yep.
Overall, I'm giving it 6,900.
100. That was kind of low for what you hyped it up for, to be honest. It's like it would be in the 7,000s for the way you kind of hyped it up to say how you felt about it.
I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I like to kind of leave it. We 8 episodes in.
It's building up.
Yeah. It's 8 episodes powering in. Up. I can't,
I get you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll go next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not much to dislike about this show, pretty much, in the sense of, like, actually disliking. I guess I just kind of said it, what we talked about. But the things that I did like, I like the animation. I like the stakes. I like the characters. The characters are funny. The show's funny. The speed. Like, I'm with Ice. Like, I would have finished this already. Or at least would have been on, like, episode 18, 19 or some shit like that. Because when it ended... I was about to start. I was starting episode 9. I was like, "Oh shit, this is episode." Because I ended up watching it the next morning.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was just like, "Bro, this shit is this is a good ass show."
Yeah.
Storytelling wise, I think they're doing a great job pacing and storytelling. In my personal opinion, I think they give you enough backstory with the characters, and there's a lot of characters in the show, and they're adding characters. It seems like every few episodes,
they all matter.
Yeah, they added the Ice Girl. They added was seeming like Akame's sister. And
they're building up a new team of 6. They say so.
Yeah, so this is crazy. I'm maybe what do they call it again? Comedy scene. I forgot what they call it.
Oh, Night Raid.
Night Raid. I feel like they're gonna have to get more people. They're gonna have to recruit. They're going to have to recruit more people.
Yeah. I mean, they have that whole resistance in the South. Maybe they'll bring up some people, be like,
I'm guessing somebody, they might find some other people that want Imperial Arms that are dope as hell and be like, yo, join our squad. We need you. You're dope as fuck.
Yeah.
That has to be what happens because they can't go forward with this many people left.
They got a forfeit because they ain't got enough people.
Because King Mike Hall said it's a rebuild year. I was like, that's fucking great, actually. Yeah. But overall, I'm enjoying this show. It's one of the better shows that I've watched in a long time. And I'm going to go 77. Mm. I feel like my score is going to probably stay around that range, even if it keeps going like this, because, like I said, there has to be a build. But this can if it ends right, this can end in the high eights, man. Like,
sure, yeah.
How it's going for me anyways.
Yeah.
Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of in, I talked about it a little bit in that first question. I wasn't crazy about Tatsumi just kind of getting in Curzio. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
fine. But, like, if I had to nitpick something other than, like, I agree the Miney not showing up was definitely a down
Pump
point.
Fake.
But I would have liked to have seen, you know, what other Imperial Arms are out there. Because, like, I mean, maybe we'll see all of them. But, like, they gave them the whole book. They set up everything. I just wanted to see some more new stuff. That's really all I wanted out of it.
Agreed.
But other than that, it's a fun show. I mean, it really does bring the action. Like, when the fights... The fight scenes, because they set it up. Like, anytime two of these people meet up, somebody dies.
I forgot about that when the Scissor Girl died. I was like, oh, she had to die.
Yeah.
Somebody had to go.
Somebody had to go.
So every single fight had to go. Is going to have crazy stakes.
Yeah.
Because clearly, at this point, they're showing you, like, we'll go either way.
Yeah.
It's not about just, like, setting stakes and, like, even just, like, oh, okay, like, here's somebody that, you know, oh, we could do anybody. And then, like, you know, kind of dial it back.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, well, at first it was anybody could go, but now, like, these are our core people. Nobody's going.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens as it goes, but so far they're just, like, doubling down. Like, oh, you thought it was crazy when we killed this person? Boom! Now they're dead, too. How about that? So,
yeah.
I mean, it keeps the stakes high, keeps it interesting. I absolutely see why it's only one season. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I would say, I would put this in, I would give this a 7,300.
7,300? Yeah, I wonder. I actually kind of wish Brennan was rewatching this. I want to see what he says after, because, you know, we could probably talk to him after the show is over, because I know he's busy doing whatever the hell he's doing.
Oh, shit.
but, yeah, man, yeah, this show's been pretty good so far. I hope people that haven't seen it yet are enjoying it, that are watching it with us. Make sure you follow us on patreon.com/animation. You know, we out here in these streets. You want to drop your stuff? Ice?
Ice.McGowan on everything. Subscribe to my YouTube if you haven't. I'm posting videos out the yin yang. Also, too, by the time this drops, I will be doing a movie night this weekend. So pull up on that. Might have some guest appearances from my son. So
nice.
Definitely come through. I don't know what movie we're going to watch, so I'm taking suggestions. Shoot me some suggestions. And then when I get a couple suggestions, I'll probably throw a poll up. Around Thursday or Friday, and then, you know, Saturday or Sunday, we can get it rocking.
Dope. Yeah, I've just been plugging artists. This week I've got a person named Esben Lash that's on Instagram, ESBENLASH. I'm not sure what this flag is. Doesn't seem like they're from America. I think it might be Switzerland, Sweden, one of those. But their art style is great. It looks like a lot of, like, digital painting, digital artwork. Maybe they did it on their iPad or something like that. But they got black and white. They got color stuff. Seems to be a whole bunch of different styles. Yeah, seems really good stuff. Check it out and give them a look. If you are an artist or you want me to take a look at some of your stuff, maybe plug you on the show, you can find me at RV Danger on Twitter, RV Danger 44 on Instagram.
$1,000 for him to do that.
Yeah, no free pub.
Also,
I'm just kidding. You can just send me shit.
Also, too, man, get us to 100 subscribers on Patreon, man, so we can give Rob the fuckboy cut.
Yeah,
you want Rob out here looking like
that his thing? Is he gonna get a haircut?
That's the next level.
I don't know about a fuckboy cut, but
it's gonna
be
leave you on red.
I'll leave you on red cut. We're gonna get him straight to a black barber shop.
How close are we?
We're at 67, 69 right now.
Oh, we gotta step it up.
Yeah, I gotta turn up.
I'll get a second cam.
Yeah.
Two
then
cameras.
Rob, yeah. I feel like each tier should be a different thing for each person.
And I would love to go with Rob, record the session
of course.
Him getting
that'll
cut
be
up.
A Patreon video.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna know what to ask for. I'm certainly not gonna say, give me the fuckboy haircut.
We got you.
Rob,
don't
beard.
Trust Keenan or Brennan.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah, I got you.
Go fuck yourself, Cam. That's number one. I had hair before. That's used to do. You motherfucker, all right?
I will say, just real quick, I remember one time I was having, like, this was years ago, and I was having, like a hangout or, like, a, you know, whatever. We were hanging out in the backyard, and Brennan was over. This was a while ago. And we were talking, hanging out, shooting the shit, yada, yada. And Brennan was talking about something. I wasn't even really paying attention. And he was kind of going around going, like, would you do it? Would you do it? And he looked at me, and he just was like, would you do it, Rob? You'd do it. And I was like, yeah, sure. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah. I had no idea what he was talking about. I was just kind of like trying to back him up or whatever. He was just like, you let me bick your head right now. And I was like, no, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I'm not like, oh, come on. Like, he tried to talk me into it, like, and hype me up, try to get that. So
try
absolutely
what?
bick your head. Because he was talking about like how he shaves his head like super well, yada, yada. He's the best.
I wouldn't want to shave anybody else's head.
I wouldn't want to shave. What? No. Hell
yeah,
no.
Shaving somebody else's head because it's like
that's way
the angle of the blade that I used to, I used to like, nah.
But it was turning into one of those like, oh shit, I said I'd do it. Like, I got to back out of this. Because at first I was just like, yeah, because I figured it was something small. And he's just like, really? Right now you'll do it? I was like, I had to back out of that.
If you came bald, because here's the
thing.
Bald
with a beard.
The cut that we would give you, I don't think necessarily Andrea would necessarily super trip on it. Because
oh, she'd be like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I think, because you'll be more just like lined up, if anything. Mm-hmm. And
no,
you'll probably,
fresh.
You'll kind of still have this. You'll still have your beard. It'll just be like.
You'll be smooth as hell.
It'll be trimmed up sharper.
That should be hard.
But bicking your, like cutting your hair bald.
Hell no. Like you about
came
to join
home,
the army or some shit.
Bro, have you ever been that low before? Like low?
I went real low one time, like when I was super young.
When
I was really
I was really little too. I went to it and they did a bad haircut, so my mom was like, "Well, we gotta take it all off." So it regrows.
You cried?
Oh, I didn't. I hated getting my haircut when I was little. I don't know why. I just didn't.
So
like
this is
it.
Not your first time going long?
Oh no, I didn't have long hair because my mom didn't let me grow it.
So
she's
do
like,
you?
No,
is,
you
this is
to,
this is childhood.
I mean, maybe. I just,
redemption.
It looks good, too.
Does your mom go like...
It does.
Does your mom go like, you need to cut your hair?
Oh, not anymore. She likes it now, yeah.
Okay.
But. Can you grow a beard, Cam? Like a full beard?
This is as much... I mean,
this
it can
is
get
all
long.
You got.
Yeah.
I, mean,
this is, I don't shave.
You're, what are you, 25, 24?
26.
Yeah, keep going. Because I feel like when I first saw Cam, it wasn't growing that long yet.
Oh, I mean, I recently trimmed it. Like, I'll
that's
trim
more,
it. I'll
I mean, this
back.
Is more than I can
but,
do ever.
Yeah.
Like, this is me right now.
I've got the connection. That's all I need.
Yeah,
I need
see, I haven't got that in 29 years of life. So.
When I think I was, like, 9 or 10 or something, I had, like, flat top cut, like, military cut. My mom was, like, sobbing when I got home. She was just like, what have they done to my boy? Kind of thing.
I'm a Marine.
I'm a Marine.
Hoorah!
They wanted your scores. Did you watch these string of episodes? Of course not.
Look at this hoe.
Here
look at this whole ass.
The hoe just showed up.
Hey bitch. I love all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Drop your drop your stuff. Because that's what we're doing right
let me
now.
Drop, I'm going to drop your stuff for you.
No, it's okay. No. I know what you're going to do. Don't. It's at Brennan Produces. We out here.
There we go.
It's a new one.
What's
up, Keenan? Looking good in this. Look at this hoodie right here, y'all.
Hey, man. I'm going to shout out 11. I'm a big fan of 11 Brand, man.
Yeah.
I like what they do. Their stuff is really dope to me.
Cam's got their stuff on too.
Cam's got it on today too. We got the Demon Slayer
brand.
Shirt on.
I love that. I love my Killer B shirt. That's hard.
And I feel like they keep putting out super dope stuff, man. So make sure you go check them out. As you can see on there, it's spelled I11 for 11, and then EVN.
It's like ill 11.
Yeah, like ill 11.
Like,
so make sure you go on there and check them out on their Instagram. He got some super dope. He has a dope Black Friday sale going on right now. Go to his Black Friday sale. He has amazing sales too. Like the price point for his stuff is like,
and it's good quality clothing.
Like,
good
quality.
Shit. Like you, it's
good,
not that like
yeah,
trash
good quality, and the price point is probably some of the best price points I've seen in street anime streetwear stuff. So,
Brent, you're dumb as hell.
You're
man.
A fucking idiot.
so Keenan Baker on everything, man. Check out, follow me on all platforms, Instagram, YouTube, and stuff like that.
The greatest fucking anime podcast.
This is three times. Now.
I was literally next door
in the entire.
Like
world.
Did you go like this?
Nah, I was in a meeting.
You didn't hear it in a meeting? You probably just like, oh,
yeah,
I didn't have my camera on. I was very happy.
That's funny.
Yeah, but keep making everything. Animation podcast, Patreon. Make sure you join that. Animation, patreon.com/animation. And everything, Cash App, all the stuff like that, Twitter, Animation Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, yeah, next week we'll be attempting to get through. Whew. Two episodes of Cowboy Bebop, the live action. We'll try not to be biased about how shitty it is because a lot of people have been dogging it out already. We're going to go in there with an open mind if we can.
Yeah.
Open mind and open heart.
We're just going to watch too, see how we feel. I mean, I don't think we're planning on necessarily doing the whole series, but maybe, you know. But we still got Kill a Kill. We still got Akame Got Killed to finish up too.
Akame Got Killed to finish up. And I think after that, we take a week off, right?
Yep. We'll be that week of the 6th, we won't be off. We'll just be recording the 8th. So that'll
the live stream will be different.
Live stream will be on the 8th, which is a Wednesday.
Okay, live stream. Okay.
Episode still releases Fridays.
Yep. Got it.
And
that'll
be I will be on that one.
That'll be Wednesday, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
I'll just be getting back. So cool. Perfect. Yeah, so thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.